Hello and welcome to the New Business Show. We talk about the most exciting developments in new business generation, from our own lead generation platform to the latest strategies and technologies available to you, the B2B community. And I'm your host, Nigel Main.
Well, here we are. We've gone live. We are live, aren't we? Talking to you. Well, welcome to the New Business Show. I'm Nigel Main, I'm your host. And today we've got a more relaxed show. You know, we kick back over the weekend. So we thought what we'd do as the best approach to this, to what we can do today, is to do a review of the past 6 weeks. And there's a logic to it. You know, that the point is that over the past 6 weeks, I've talked about live streaming, what can be done, why it's important, why people are not doing it. And especially that, in terms of generating new business, what else is there? And it's a pretty serious statement. What's available? And if you think that it's just cold calling and some direct mail or spam email, it's not. I'm not interested in it, I don't respond to it, and you probably don't either. So where do we go from here? You know, I can sit here and talk all day if I wanted to. But when we're looking at how do you generate new business, and once you've got a show moving and you're getting into the swing of things, the important thing is, well, what else can you use this technology for? And that's a really important thing. So what I'm going to do before we get into that, I'm going to play our normal intro, and then I need to get in touch with Dean. I'll do that in a second. Right, well, we've got, I just need to make sure that we've got everything ticking along as it should do. It says the interview mode is muted, but it shouldn't be. And first off, I'm going to go over to Liz. Hi, Liz, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
I can hear you and you can hear me.
Yep, nice and clear, yep.
And I think that as it works, if I can hear you and you can hear me, then it's working. And Dean, I'm pretty sure Dean's watching us at the moment. Dean, if you want to dial in, and then we'll get all three of us together, and then I'll do the kind of the formal introductions. But one of the things, it's not that it's going to be a bit of a strange show, but there's some new features that have been introduced into the software, and you know, it's one of those things. Do you? They came in last night, literally at 10 o'clock last night when the upgrade happened. So, I've got a phone call ringing. Hang on a second. I'll just say hello to Dean. Guest is in the green room, and we will assign Dean to guest two. There he is. Hello, mate.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. You well?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, good.
Cool. I mean, I was just saying you know, that the point of today is, as you already know, is that we want to kind of just do a bit of a review of what this has been about over the past 6 weeks. You know, we've got access to some great software. It's not very expensive. We talked before about, you know, you can use one of these to go live on, and as most people have seen. But it's not just about going live and doing a kind of a promotional pitch. It's what can people do to use this for additional applications. So I'm jumping ahead. In the middle is Liz.
Hello.
and Liz joins us from time to time. And Liz works for a large software company, and oftentimes is on the receiving end of lots of different calls from different people all looking to sell their wares. And then we have Dean. And Dean is a... well, you tell him what you do.
Well, I'm the person hassling people. Like, my way. So I'm the sales guy, and I've got a background in B2B business. And at the moment, I'm in the e-commerce technology market.
Cool. So we've got in terms of, you know, here's me promoting and talking about live streaming, and the two proponents of if you want to call it that, of new business involvement is someone that makes the calls and someone that receives the calls. So we can see and we have this understanding that says, well, it's not worked for decades, but lots of businesses don't seem to understand that. So, I mean, in terms of this week, I mean, it's been a quite an interesting week in that obviously we're doing what we're doing, communicating the whole live stream thing and speaking to accountants and so on, who seem to be quite open to this, which is good, which is really good. And there's also I was talking to a firm the other day, and they told me about a company called The 2020 Company. And they are a CPD and developmental company for accountants. And on their website, they have obviously all the exams and information and seminars that people have to listen to in order to get their points in terms of CPD. And one of the sections on this particularly large website was about sales and marketing. And within the sales and marketing thing, it said, yes, you know, content is king. So you've got to have content. But of the content, you've got to have your own written content, not just the standard stuff that gets sent out. The next thing up you can do is video. And you can put kind of video snippets and video adverts out there and so on. But where it really counts, where it really happens, what really, really shows your commitment to your clients and prospective clients is going live. And I looked at this. We went live weeks ago and the lead up to that. But reading that on this website, I'm thinking, it's not just me. It's not just us going, beating the drum about this going live. I mean, Dean, you've had a number of kind of interesting conversations over this past week or so.
Yeah, there's always having interesting conversations. Now, it sounds like you had one in mind.
The LinkedIn one, the LinkedIn software one that surprised me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So being the sales guy, I get pitched to a lot as well. So everybody has got a service, you know, to get you more lead generation. Whether it be a technology, whether it be a team of cold callers, whether it be a marketing technology, copywriters, whatever it is, I get pitched constantly. So I can only imagine the people in Liz's position on the back of people like me chasing them as well. Yeah. And one of the ones I had recently was a technology company which was based around getting more contact data for me to chase. Yeah. And they wanted to sell me an application that kind of plugged into LinkedIn. And if I see a prospect I like, I can just tap a little button. It'll give me their email and telephone number on X percentage of occasions, because there's no such thing as 100%. But on something like a good percentage of occasions, it'll give me an accurate email and an accurate phone number.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know, on what sort of thing, what sort of money would that set a salesperson like me back? And that's the point I fell off my seat. It was £1,000 a month. For this LinkedIn plugin application.
Is that per user thing?
Well, the lowest basic level of this particular technology, I won't give it away what it was, but it was, the lowest level was two seats. So two users had access. So if it was just one person, then tough. You was allowed two people. And so for two people, it was £1,000 per month. You could have more, but then you can pay more.
Wow.
£1,000 a month. And being the salesperson of where I'm at, like, the data and the phone numbers and the emails are only worth so much anyway. Like, I'm definitely into this. You've got to be out there. You've got to have some content. You've got to have a bit more attraction going on. So the idea of just getting a list that I can chase isn't massively attractive to me anyway. I know, like, some salespeople might have a different opinion on that. So I was thinking, well, if it was simple and easy, and then I'd be open to it maybe to get some more data. But when it was £1,000 a month, I was thinking, wow, you know, does it get me out of bed and make me a cup of coffee as well? I mean, like, what am I getting for this money?
I mean, you put that into the context of it's a grand, that's a grand off your bottom line per month, per year, 12 grand. If that was being paid out to somebody, you would expect them to be producing at least three times that minimum. So that's got to make you 36, 40, call it 40 grand roughly. If you're on a 10% margin, that's 400 grand turnover just because of that. Yep. And what you're doing is you're looking to maintain and continue the upsetting of people like Liz and pestering them. Now I've got your telephone. Now I've got more telephone numbers. It's difficult.
Straight away, you've done the maths. Well, consider the right way. Typically, what people do is go, well, you know, how much is a normal deal? How many deals would you need to break even? But they always look at it in terms of revenue. They never actually look of, well, how many deals would you actually need to do to get your money back?
Yeah.
Because you know, typically, if someone says it's 12 grand a year, oh, if I gave you a 20 grand contract, you got your money back. No, that's not how the maths work.
No.
Sadly. But that is how it's sold to you, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't say too much because I'm the sales guy in the room, but that is kind of constantly comes across as well. What would you really need to get you, you know, one deal, you got your money back? No, maybe not.
No, and I think that's what seems to come across. I mean, talking to the guys, the people that I was talking to this week, you know, they tried it all. You know, they tried the cold calling, they tried telesales, they've tried buying leads, they've tried doing multiple emails, they've tried all of it. And so accountants are no different to everybody else because it's all about just new business. So how do you get new business?
And I mean, I had a call yesterday, funnily enough, when you were out and about, I had a call yesterday from an accountant locally. And he said he was the business development manager. And I said, oh, well, my job title is business support manager. It's slightly different. But he was saying, oh, yeah, he does everything. You know, he's there and he's basically the office boy that does the cleaning, makes the coffee and makes the outbound calls to see if people want to do business with them. And I was like, well, send me some
That's a good advert.
I was more intrigued to see what information he was sent. I'm still waiting for that information. I haven't had anything through. So it really, you know, from even accountants are still making those outbound calls. I'll be very intrigued if he ever, because I didn't catch the company name, but I'll be very intrigued if I actually get some information from them. Because to me, there's one thing making a phone call. So you can do the telesales bit. And I had one the other day and they were going through a list of people. And I was like, well, give me a list. Part of, you know, some of them aren't even based in the UK, so I'm not going to speak to you about them. But it's like, if you are going to do telesales and I say to you, send me some information, I genuinely mean send me some information for two reasons. One, because that's your greatest chance of getting through to anybody in the business that I work for, because we're still all working from home and a lot of us work from home anyway without this pandemic thing. So your best chance of actually speaking to somebody or getting in touch with anybody in the business is to send me some information. And also, I'm always intrigued to know what kind of information they're going to send, because if they send me a really badly written email, that doesn't do them any favours because it's been written by somebody whose English isn't terribly good. And by that, I mean they don't know how to form sentences and punctuate and spell. But I'm always intrigued to know what the company does and how they present themselves online, because I think that's always a very interesting, you know, that's my, apart from the telesales call, that's my intro into what that company does and what they, you know, what they are offering. And is it of any value to the company I work for or any value to anybody that I know?
Yeah.
But I think of all for the 10 calls that I get that are, I ask them to contact me, I get maybe, to maybe send information when I've asked for it.
I could probably give another view on that, to be honest, because having worked for many different sales teams and, you know, sales organisations, and it's genuinely frowned upon from the sales perspective that if somebody asks for information, they actually want it. So the amount of times I've been in a sales environment, they go, right, here's your list, cold call it, and you go, right, where's my marketing collateral to go with it? And they're like, well, what do you mean? And they go, well, when they say, can I have some more information, what shall I send them? Oh, no, Dean, we all know that when people ask for information, they're just telling you to get lost.
You see, and I'm on the receiving end of that.
From a sales perspective, we're often trained that people don't want information. They're just too polite to tell you to go away. And there are a lot of sales teams. I can't speak for the people that Liz have been speaking to directly. I'm only going from past experience here.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of situations where you go, well, can I have some information? And I would put some money on a good percentage of those people don't have it, because their organisations won't produce the collateral because they don't believe anybody genuinely wants the information. They take, can I have some more information, as a fob off. And so when you go back to your manager and go, oh, I've got 10 people that would like some more information, the sales manager will go, you've got nothing.
Wow.
But then what's the follow-on from that? Because I think I maybe have shared this story before. I once spent about 15 minutes on the phone with a guy on telesales. It got to be a bit of sport, to be honest, and everybody in the office was listening to what was going on. I wasn't even doing the whole, I'd stopped even acknowledging that he was on the end of the phone, wondering when he was actually going to stop talking. But I argued with him for almost 15 minutes and said, you need to send me some information because you won't get any further. And by this point, I'd looked at his website. I knew what they were doing. I said, you're just trying to sell his advertising space. And I got that. And he got really, really angry with me. And he said, I can't send you information. It'll take me longer to put some information together than it will to explain it on the phone. I'm like, yeah, but you've been on the phone for 15 minutes, right? So you could have even put together an email. But it's interesting that the response is, I say, send me some information and I will forward it on. And I do. I genuinely do. Maybe I'm an anomaly, I don't know. But having been on the other end and done the telesales calls. But it's like, I don't know who you are. You've phoned me out of the blue. Some get really shirty with me. Some get really, really offhand with me when I say somebody's working from home and will be indefinitely. Because it's like, I'm not saying that to upset you. I'm saying this is a fact. I'm managing your expectations here. Send me some information and I will forward it on for you.
Yeah.
If there's nothing forthcoming, what can I tell the person that you want to speak to, the person in marketing or the finance director? What can I tell them if you don't send any information to me? What do I can't say, oh, this guy phoned. Well, who was it? Well, I don't know. He wouldn't tell me.
But that's the thing is,
I might remember this. It's like the guy picks up the phone and he goes, oh, you don't say. Oh, you don't say. And then it puts the phone down and somebody says to him, what did he say? He didn't say. It's like, that's what it feels like. It's like,
but it goes again.
I can't do anything with your phone call.
It goes against everything to do with, you've got a big group of people, and I'm kind of anti-marketing. I think we're an anti-marketing company because what B2B that is. So B2B marketers, I say, are a waste of space. They do nothing. But everybody agrees content's king. So, okay, you keep saying content's king, but you don't write it and you won't write it. And you won't give it to prospects. The technology that's around, you're chatting to somebody on the phone and they say, send me some information. I just have. You should have it now. Because that's what we were doing 20 years ago. If you want some information, automate it, send it. You've got it right now. There you go. I've sent you three things. You've got to think of that. Da, 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 da. That's it. So if you, it is as simple as that. But the bottom line is, you said this a while ago, Dean, about the And I've used it on multiple bits of content that we've produced, which is 1%. 1% of your total market are looking for something at any one time. So if that's the case, when you're ringing somebody up and they go, oh, send us some information. Hello, you know, are they the 1%? How else do you expect? Oh, you expect to see them as a mark, get in there and close them down on the first phone call and maybe have a meeting, but close them anyway. It's like, it's said nobody ever, and nobody ever did.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
well, this 1% just comes from who's in the market right now. You know, because you've got all your chosen market. At some point, maybe they'll all be in the market at some point.
Yeah.
But the whole point of cold calling, the whole reason the whole numbers game came up is how do you get the one who's in the market right now, on the call right now? Well, that's a case of timing. You know, and in the old days, it was a case of, well, if you call everyone, you got a good shot. And it used to work in the old days because there was this thing in the old days where people answered a phone. I remember being in offices where there was like a 2 or 3 ring policy, you know, and if the phone hadn't been answered in 3 rings, someone was for it, you know.
Yeah.
Now if a phone rings, it's like, I'm trying to do some work over here, you know. Just because a phone rings, it doesn't get answered today. So you're not going to get to that 1% anyway. But another thing that I've found very interesting, and it sort of alludes to what you guys are saying, is there seems to be this fear of allowing a prospect to view the presentation without you present.
Yeah.
So there's this whole control over the presentation. Now, I'm a salesperson. Yeah. I love it if I can do the presentation in person. Definitely. Yeah. Hands down, it's better if you can do the presentation.
Yeah, yeah.
But life ain't about what I want. You know, it's a buyer's market right now. And
it always is, yeah.
You know, the man with the gold has the choices, you know, and it's like they don't want me to hold their hand through the presentation. So there's this massive fear. And this is where giving out information, oh, I don't know about that because I want to control the presentation. Yeah. Well, why don't you just put your presentation on YouTube? Whoa, what? And people look at it without me holding their hand? That's scary. And I don't fully understand why there's this massive fear. I was listening to a live show on LinkedIn yesterday, interestingly enough, and it was all about B2B live shows and getting content out there. You know, and from the discussions we had, I thought, well, this is going to be really good. This is going to be really interesting. It's not just us crazy people.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is happening on. There's other people in this world who are thinking the same thing. And they're all talking about, well, what sort of... And they were very big on brand, reputation and infotainment and the Gary Vee style post-production of turning one thing into 350 bits of content, which, don't get me wrong, was attractive to me at one time. I kind of bought into it for a period, and then I think I realized the same as we all did, like, that's kind of good for B2C, but it doesn't really work for B2B. Going through all these live shows, well, what do you want to put on it? And they're like, well, we could talk about the latest Google update or industry update or something that happened in the news, and we could talk about thought leadership and all these great things. But at no point did people ever think we could actually just do a presentation of what we do. And it's like, wouldn't that be amazing to just actually tell people what you do actually do the presentation?
Yeah.
I mean, like QVC, do you think they just spend 24 hours a day on thought leadership? No, they're selling you the stuff so you can buy it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you on it.
What's wrong with saying, well, this is what we do, and if you'd like to buy it, this is how you buy it. And once you bought it, this is what your life's going to look like.
But I think the big problem is that you've got the sales, we call them the leaders, so the managers and directors and chief growth officers, chief revenue officers, all these people that have been brought up on this sell. And they think that by controlling it and by withholding it, they're going to be in control of the moves as any potential sale goes forward. And they convince themselves that they're putting people into a funnel and yada, 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 and they're taking them through the funnel until they get to the point of wanting a demonstration, and they will be present and justify their salaries. But the issue with B2B is that, we've said this before, that if you buy something in B2B, you're buying it because it's going to make you money. You're not buying it because it looks nice. well, unless it was a Lamborghini, but you're buying it because you think that it will save you time and money and make money, because you can only save so much money, so forget that. But it saves you time, makes you more efficient, and helps increase your profitability, and therefore you can cost justify it, i.e. you create a business case. So it has to be a profitable business case. But because the salespeople are frightened that they're not going to get any commission if it goes down a digital route, they won't ever endorse or recommend it. And because marketers don't know what they're talking about, and they've proven that for the past 10 years, that they have misled the business owners into maintaining this marketing activity that's a waste of time. If you cancel all your marketing, you'd just be quids in. Forget lockdown, forget recessions, just you cancel the marketing, wouldn't make any difference. Your salespeople would be out there and they'd be making the money and trying to make appointments. But like we said in previous shows, it's now about 400 to 1, the likelihood of finding someone, because 70-80% of the research journey is done digitally, so they don't need to speak to anyone, and the only people that they're going to connect with are the people that have got the content. So it comes back to content again. If you haven't got the content out there, you haven't got a look in. I mean, the people that I saw this week, I mean, it put a smile to my face. Of course it did. So, right, okay, Nigel, been on your website, downloaded your white paper, downloaded your playbook, downloaded your other brochures, and I went in and he had everything printed, all this stuff printed out, including one of the long form documents that's like, was about 8,000 words. He said, I've read all this. Must have taken you a long time. Yeah. He said, I've listened to the podcast, I've watched the videos, and I've seen your live shows. So what do you think we should do? And I said, oh, you do that. Okay.
All of the above?
All of it. And he went, okay, basically get on with it. So it's not rocket science. It never was. But this nonsense about people...
So did you find that it was all in the clothes? All the
money
was just in the clothes. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
He did the assumptive close. I didn't. And that's the thing is that I'm not going to waste anybody's time by trying to say something at them in a meeting at a time that I'm trying to select. And the old way of selling, you go in there, you go, hello, Mr. Prospect, how long have we got? And some people say, take your watch off, put it on now, I'm not going to go over time. Put your watch on the desk and do the meeting. And you know that, 15 minutes to go, right, go for the kill, go for the close. So you've got to get everything about your company, everything about your product, everything about how it's going to benefit them done within a given period of time. Instead of leaving, I mean, he must have spent hours. I know he had to have spent hours because there's a load of content. But that to me is selling, because if you've got something that's of value, you have to produce content to support it. People, funnily enough, you know, all this big deal about everybody going to university, everybody getting degrees and everything else, that kind of lends itself to this expectation that people can read and write. And so if you can read and write, and look and hear, you can consume all that content. And of course, like we said before, you know, we have a different way of looking at a business infrastructure, because you can shift things away and shift people around and actually get to a point, which is what this is all about, is going live and being able to communicate with thousands or tens of thousands of people. But bearing in mind, there are only about 250,000 businesses in the UK that are over 10 employees. That's it. So, you know, choosing markets and so on, and there's plenty of people there to sell to.
But didn't that meeting just prove a point, though? I mean, when you sort of said it the way you just said it. I mean, Dean's saying about the salesman wanting to control the information that is given, that, you know, controlling the presentation, controlling what's out there. So you've got a salesman or a sales manager say, no, we don't send them any information. We don't give them any links to our website. We don't do that because we want to talk to them, because we want to be in control. And then on the other side, the meeting that you had today was yesterday, was that they had all of that information. He had spent hours looking at it and reading it. He'd taken the time to do that. And so before you even actually got in to see him, he already knew everything. He knew how you wrote. He knew how you presented online. He knew about the live stream. He knew what you sounded like on the podcast and what you were saying. He'd laid it all out. He'd even gone to the trouble of printing it. He hadn't just read it online. He'd printed it out, which would suggest to me that he'd read it pretty much in his leisure time, because otherwise, if he was sitting at his desk, he wouldn't have needed to have printed it out.
Yeah.
So he's gone to that trouble. And so by the time you actually met him, and I know this is quite a foreshortened, you know, the time from actually having the first conversation to this point is quite short, but the point is that this proves the point that by the time you actually sat down with him yesterday, he'd pretty much made a decision that he wanted to do business with you. And that this was just, you know, what was going to follow was just to dot the I's and cross the T's. It was, like you said, it was just to press the flesh. That was it. And I think that proves the point that if you put your content out there and if you're open and honest with people and authentic, they respond to that in a way that even we didn't really anticipate, because you think by having a voice-to-voice telephone call with somebody that they're going to respond to you really well. Sometimes they don't. You've got them at the wrong moment. You know, you've called them when they're busy doing something, or they're just on the way out of the office, or whatever it is, and they don't have the time to talk to you. But I think that meeting yesterday proved a point that you've put everything online. You've been very open and honest with the potential customer. And they've responded to that in a really positive way.
Yeah.
And that says more than content is king. That says what we're doing is absolutely right for this market. And they're not even working from home. They're working in their office.
Yeah.
So they've gone back into their office. And it's like, even under that situation, he's taken the time to read it. And I just think that's perfect. That's a perfect example. It couldn't be more perfect that by making your content available means that people will read it in their time, and when they're ready, they will come to you and say, right, I know everything about you and I'd like to do business with you.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful.
Well, I think it highlights a couple of things. Because absolutely everything Liz has said is correct. It proves a massive point. But if you take all the time that you spent researching your site, you could say, well, just think of the obvious question. Was he going to spend that much time researching anyway? Or did you suddenly convince him to do extra research because you put more content on your site? Well, what I take away from it was that was already in his mindset. His mindset was already a case of, I'm going to research my next purchase.
Yeah.
And all you did was give him the environment where he was able to do so.
Yeah.
So when you've detailed that he's read 8,000 words here, he's read podcasts, he's listened to videos, watched videos, gone through the articles, he's already proven that that's the kind of person he is. And what that proves to me is he's not an individual, not unique. I mean, everybody wants to research key decisions. But from the other side of the coin, thinking with my sales hat on, it highlights the massive flaw in the way sales is done and why more businesses don't adopt this. I can see why it's not adopted, even though it's obvious. I can see why it's not adopted. And the reason it's not adopted is the old-fashioned attribution modeling. You know, from a sales perspective, everything is about the close. You know, now, if we look at this accountant, he's gone and listened to a podcast, read an article, downloaded a white paper, watched a video. And at some point, I think, you know, we've been prompted to do so, maybe by an email, maybe by an initial. So you backtrack it back. Which bit gets the credit for winning the sale? Was it the clothes? Was it the video? Was it the podcast? Was it the article? Was it the white paper? Was it the email? Who gets the sale? Now, in a traditional sales organisation, the sale is the person who closed it.
Yeah.
If you look at a big team of B2B sales, there's not normally just one salesperson. There might be a team of salespeople. Yeah. There might be three. There might be ten. And if you give someone some information, which is great for the buyer, which is perfectly for what they want to do, the fear is they'll then read the information, go, oh, that's good. Go to the website, lovely website, nice video. And then they go to the contact us page on the website. Oh, I'd like some more. Can I find out about buying this? Then that request goes to another salesperson who closes it and gets all the money.
Yep. Now, and that's why we've changed. We've looked at this and said, right, well, that's nuts. There has to be a shift, and that the shift happens in terms of who runs the technology, who runs the content, and who runs the revenue. And that makes sense if you have a chief revenue officer, and that person has got one or two salespeople that go and press the flesh or take the orders. But it doesn't mean that you have to have a national sales team, because it can be driven online, which is what everybody wants to do, which is digital transformation. And the whole thing with digital transformation is, how do you digitize your connection with your customers, your staff and your potential customers externally? Excuse me. And that can only be done through enabling the way that you can communicate authentically on their terms, in their time frame, not yours. Mm-hmm. Salespeople can only function if they are pushing for engagement on their terms. And we've said this before, that the typical structure with marketing automation platforms is that it looks to replace the cold call, the collection of a compliment slip. Before, back in the day, you'd go knocking on doors, they'd open the door, you'd get asked for a compliment slip, you'd write down the name of the person that deals with X, Y, or Z, and that's what you've got. That's exactly what an email form does if you want to download a piece of content from someone. And so you're demanding a transaction from the customer as opposed to demanding a compliment slip. Now you want even more information. And they don't want to do it because they're going to get pestered. And so, coming back to this 1%, and it's so important that if you're able to connect with 1% of your market and just tell them, we're going live. Over the next 3, 6, 9, 12 weeks, months, whatever, this is our agenda. This is what we're going to talk about. Come and join us if you're interested. That's it. No spiel. No, we've got to come up with the headline on the email. We've got to get them to click. We've got to give them a call to action that they can't refuse. No, they're busy. They've got a business to run. If they see that you're communicating sensibly and in a business-like fashion, they go, I won't look at that just yet. I'll look at it later. We have more engagement after the event, after live, than we do when it's live. Staggering amount of engagement afterwards. Because the live stream suits us at 11 o'clock. And we're doing this every week. It doesn't suit everybody else because they're in meetings, gone home, gone to lunch, on holiday, yada, yada, yada. But they can see it on catch up. So, and there's no editing.
They can see it for years to follow. It's not just like they'll catch up by the weekend. I mean, this could be online for 5 years, 10 years, depending on how long until it's completely out of date.
I just had a thought. We go right in 5 years' time or 10 years' time. They're going, where's that thing that we did? Look, see, we told you it was all crap. We told you it wasn't working. Yeah. You so didn't believe us.
It's exactly that. And like you say, like if you're very specific about what the show's about, people can self-qualify.
Yeah.
You know, like we joked about like the Jonathan Ross show. Like people say, oh, they'll look at the guests and they go, boring, I won't tune in. But then they might see someone and go, oh, I'll be interested to see that interview. And then they'll tune in. That's exactly how they behave with the live.
You know, absolutely.
We're going to talk about something very specific, a very specific area. And people will self-qualify. Who will self-qualify? The 1%. Exactly. 99% will just not tune in, and that's absolutely fine. But they won't be offended either.
No, and we instead of doing two emails a week, I'm going down to one email a week now, just to say we go live today. This is what we're talking about. See you there. You can look at us on catch up, and it's like it's a dream in terms of how to communicate a message. It is an absolute dream. Yes, there's setup. Yes, there's some stuff to you got to buy, but it is incomparable to the massive cost of having BDRs, sales, telesalespeople, and salespeople just hemorrhaging gross profit out of the business because people think that's the way to do it. You go, I reach more people. The company's 100 times bigger than us. 200, 500 times bigger, because we're there, we're doing it, we're producing it. The content was produced in advance. We know how it needs to be structured. We know how Google works. We know about the content we're supposed to have, the content we don't need to worry about adverts on LinkedIn. There's a structure, and it systemize it. Happy days, get on with it. And that's, I mean, we're going to keep talking about this. We're going to keep sharing what's been done. But and that's what kind of led us on to... As far as today's concerned, is about, well, what else can you do with it? I mean, there's absolutely no, there's no argument against this. You can't touch us. Can't touch anybody that's doing live for business-to-business development. You cannot touch it. You can't argue. Nobody could ever win an argument saying, oh, telesales is better. Says nobody. So if you kind of move on to that other bit, which is more of a kind of a, I suppose you could say it's a bit like a podcast. What do you think of all about the other things? I mean, I've looked at this, you've looked at that, and you know, and it's looking at different applications. And Dean, you mentioned about doing a demonstration, the demo of you know, this is what we sell. And you know,
the obvious one, but it's almost one is the last thing people think of.
Oh, I know.
Like, one of the conversations I have with sales teams is like, well, we all know business development, right? And typically you get a new lead. Well, what did you want to do with that lead? And typically it's, well, I want to book them in for that first biz dev meeting. And you go, well, what does that first biz dev meeting look like? Well, it looks like all the others. They're all the same. Yeah. it's either the same death by PowerPoint, the same presentation, the same video, the same questions. It's the same.
Yeah.
You know, with a slight variation of you might put a different badge on the front of the PowerPoint slide. To say that I'm talking to you, Mr. Different Brand. But otherwise, it's the same.
And I'm going to tell you who your company is on every single slide because I put your logo at the bottom. Yeah, exactly.
I've bespoke. Just for you. You know, there might be a couple of slides that you take out depending on what sector you're talking to, but it's the same. And like I said to one sales team recently, I said, who out there out of your target prospects do you not want to see this? Well, I want everyone to see it. Great. I said, why don't you just film it and put it on YouTube? And they're like, what? Why don't you just film it and put it on YouTube? I mean, like, it's the same presentation you give everyone. You want everyone to see it. And the strange thing is, your prospects want to see it. They just don't want you to know them.
they want to see it, but not you.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a timing issue. There's people in that 1% that do want to see that presentation. They're just not ready to see the whites of the eyes press the flesh. Yeah. They don't want to have their company name on your radar that they're looking, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Make them look. So just say, and this is the obvious thing I find about a potential live, which is the last thing people think of. Everyone thinks about brand, reputation, thought leadership, infotainment, how we can make it fun. Ever thought about selling the product?
Yeah.
You know, just do the presentation.
And this is it. I mean, and the thing is that if it's a decent company, they're going to say, this is how we want you to sell. You can adapt it, but this is, we need to make sure that you understand the product and you cover off these things in the way that you do it. You take them down a path and so on and make it happen. And it's like, has anybody ever read a book on presentations? And it's like, who is the champion? Who's the hero? How do you make the customer the hero when you're just pushing him down this PowerPoint path? How much do you really know their industry or their particular business? So this type of engagement says you're in control. You can click away. I'm keeping you at your desk. You're actually controlling this because you've joined us, or you're just watching this, and we're doing everything we can to make this process as simple as possible. Here's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. We've got we've got who we are, what the product is, applications, implementation, installation, training, and long-term support. That's how everything works. Doesn't matter what it is, if it's B2B. So how do we do it? Come and join us. Watch us on this journey as we take you through it. We're not going to bore you with a five-hour presentation. We'll just do it in little chunks. So come and join us. And if you like the product, it's a great...
We also talked about sort of interviewing customers. So being able to invite your customers in to talk to you about, you know, just generally about their business and how even they've implemented the product and what difference it's made. And it's got a lot more spontaneity than just putting a video. I mean, a video on your website's great, but if there can be interaction between you and the customer, you know, how did you find
it? But look at this, you know, if I point that way, you know, where am I? If I point that way, I can point at you, but you're not here. You know, I do that and it doesn't come up, you know, it's not like we've got a bit of fancy camera work here. But, you know, we're all in different locations, you know, St Albans and Chalfont and Westside. So here we are, but we could be in London, Paris and New York. It wouldn't make any difference. So then it becomes, wait a second, if Dean worked in, I don't know, in construction, then we would say, right, we've got Dean joining us from XYZ Construction Company. We connect with and mail out and invite all these people from the construction industry to come and watch us, have a conversation. Because Dean's come up with this amazing new concrete, which is all the rage. Come and have a listen. He's going to talk about this. It's not in your face. It's non-threatening. It's engaging. It's, you know, like I've said before, we've got Sales Exchange and we've got the email address and telephone number. We're complete. It's this ability of being transparent, and so, you know, getting customers in is just, you know, like we did right at the beginning. So Liz was there at the beginning. We tested the mics and the interview software again because it was updated. Dean then clicks on a link. And then joined us a bit later. If you've got a long show, if you know, some people do like 2-3 hour shows, which we're not going to do, but people can dip in and dip out. They can phone in as well if they want to, have them on the phone. They can Skype in. There's so many ways of doing this, of drawing in customers or drawing in suppliers. I mean, one of the big problems that we come across is people say, oh, it's all right for you, because you can talk in a camera. You can talk to a camera. You know, you've been doing this. You could do the. You seem really comfortable in front of the camera. It's like, well, that doesn't happen overnight, not ever. But inviting other people to talk about their products, I could invite Liz and Dean, and I could say, ask a couple of questions, and let them carry on. I don't have to say anything. But it shows my customers. I've got these other people on my show. Because I think they will help and be useful and interesting to my customers. If you don't think they're interested, just click away. It's no big deal. So it's looking at different applications of drawing them in. You know, you talked about customers, and then there's training. The whole thing to do with training.
I think there's a big opportunity with prospects. So. Like, for instance, you know, people that you want to sell to, people who are in your industry. Like, you know, I work in e-commerce and e-commerce technology. So for my role, I'm trying to get e-commerce directors of big retail sites.
Yeah.
Now, weirdly, if I was to contact them and say, I want to pitch you, you know, tumbleweed. But when I contact them and say, I'm doing a podcast about this, I'd like you to come on my show. Now, all of a sudden, I've got much better reach for my prospects.
Yeah.
Like, we're in a bit more of a media era where people go, well, yeah, I'd be happy to come on your show and talk all about. So all of a sudden you're engaging with prospects in the live.
Yeah.
You know, the people that you always wanted to build a relationship with. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be pitching to them, you're going to be selling to them. But what a better way to build a relationship than actually discussing with them about the industry, finding out what the industry means to them, how they're tackling certain issues. You know, how are you getting through the pandemic? How are you finding it's changed your business? Have you had to restructure? Has it changed any of the way you approach your goals?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But I'm finding I'll get an easier response from a prospect to do a podcast together than to do a pitch.
Yeah. And it just, because it comes back down to 1%, they are a target vertical, but they're not thinking about it, or they don't need it or want it just yet, or they haven't been sufficiently warmed up to get to think, do you know what, I could use them. So, you know, in all these businesses that do networking, feel, found, felt, you know, but, you know, like and trust, all this tosh, because people can't do it anymore. But the point was that you would get to know people, because that's what humans do. We get to know people first. And this becomes a, especially this, you know, if it's set up properly and if you've got good audio and you've got everything happening, you go, well, actually, it's non-threatening, it's relaxed, it's no grief, because nobody has to leave where they work or where they are working, whether it's at home or an office. Simple. And so the thing to do is getting prospects in, identifying prospects to get their useful, call it intelligence, their business intelligence, in and out to your customers and your other prospects, is priceless. I mean, I just think, and it, you know, whether it's that, and you know, we've got, if you sell software, then you've got training your customers on the products or whatever that you've sold, then you do live shows, and you can do live. I mean, this is going out over Facebook and YouTube. I'm still waiting for LinkedIn, but so we can go out over three channels. But equally, this can go out directly over Zoom to a closed group. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's just the technology to use this and to communicate it, because who wants, you know, this is kind of taking video conferencing one step further, because of the availability of all of this. But it has to be this has to be looked at along the lines of what else can it do for my business.
Well, I think if people sat down with a blank sheet of paper and just started thinking, that any business person would have more ideas than they would have slots to actually deliver them. Like, even if you said you was going to do one or two a week, you know, 50 to 100 a year, that sounds like a lot. But if you got a bit of paper out and said, well, I could do case studies, how many businesses would do that? Well, you write a little list. You probably get 10, 15, 20 straight away, ideas straight away. Then you go, well, I could do a bit of thought leadership on like PR events to my industry. Well, they're coming on all the time. You could easily do 10, 15 there. Now, I mentioned like the sales presentation, but then most B2B companies, they all think they're unique, just like everybody else. But every B2B company is, well, it's different for me because it's a complex sale. Well, why is it a complex sale? Well, I often get these 10 different objections. Well, there's 10 shows. Objection, you know? And then it goes, well, it depends what industry I'm doing. Well, how many industries do you work in? Six. Well, there's six shows.
Yeah.
You know, well, it depends.
Well, that's 6 times 10, because 10 objections, 6 verticals. Yeah, so then exactly. Multiply that up and do one for...
It depends what we're integrating with, because we're, you know, a highly sophisticated technology and we use software, we use the latest. Okay, well, what sort of integrations you do? Well, there's five big... Well, there's five shows.
Do you know, it doesn't take...
It's not a complex sale anymore, is it?
Like, no. But the thing is, and of course, this is what we're advocating massively. Now look at it from the person that doesn't want to learn this stuff, and that tends to be the company themselves. But it plays into the hand of the salespeople to go, oh, it's a complex sale. So the business owners don't think they need this because they've got all these salespeople, but their margins are getting squeezed every single month as these things, you know, extend and continue with lockdowns. And now there's a there is a change in how people are thinking about work and where they work. Mm-hmm. So you've got this paradigm, I guess, or is it a dichotomy? This is where you've got these two factions, these two things that you've got. Do we need to spend all this money on this kit and get it all set up? And the salespeople are going, no, you don't. But then, Mr. Business Owner, you're spending all that money on the salespeople. They're going to say, no, you don't need it. They're not going to be an advocate.
There's a clash of incentives here. You know, yeah. Like I touched on earlier, you know, a lot of the way sales is held up is because of the way salespeople are incentivized. You know, well, we're incentivized on the clothes. You know, I'd love to say my base salary could afford me a Porsche and a house with a swimming pool. But yeah. You don't get anything as a salesperson until you get all the closes. Yeah. And that's not, you know, and you've got two scenarios here. What's best for the business and what's best for the employee?
Yeah.
Now, employee.
100%,
When you go to an employee and say, this would double the size of the company, might be a bit bad for your commission. But, well, what do you think the employee's going to say? It's like,
yeah.
So you could double the company, but I'm out of my ear, or like living in poverty.
I mean, yeah, that's called reskill.
Everyone's got to be incentivized to do the right. Now, there's plenty of space, like you say, if you restructure things the right way, there's plenty of space for all these salespeople to live handsomely.
Yeah.
You know, there is great potential, but everybody's got to be on board, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, and
because you get the next, don't you? The negative people that say that will just say it for the, because it's not in my interests. Because the managing director says, with anything, any kind of engagement with anybody, what's in it for me? Why should I even waste my time or spend any brain time considering anything that you're saying? What's in it for me? What's it going to do for my business and therefore naturally for me?
Yeah. You see, I think there's a natural conflict though, isn't there? I mean, I was just thinking about this. You know, you've got the natural conflict between the, which isn't necessarily apparent straight off, but you've got the business owner and you've got the salesman. And the business owner saying, well, what's in it for me? Why do I want to do this? You know, can this actually move my business forward? And you've got the salesman going, this is a real threat to me. If we go down this live stream route and we use this technology, this is a real threat to me and what I do. And because they're employed, as opposed to the business owner, that it's his business, it's what, you know, it's his life. Whereas looking at the salesman saying, well, actually, this will enhance what you do. This will enhance your sales process. And it will probably help you to close more sales because you can reach more people more of the time without having to travel 2 hours to get from A to B. But they see it more as a threat rather than, and don't want to look at the other
because it's almost.
There was a guy that. Depending on how instructed and rolled out, it could be a threat. You know, like. If a business owner goes, right, just get rid of everything and start afresh, then, yeah, it would be a threat.
I mean, I would put my tuppence worth in there with him. I said, well, you know, you don't have to sack them all.
I don't think it has to be that way, but this is where we
don't have to sack them all. A lot of them, but not all of them, because there's this thing about reskilling and redeploying and reskilling. And the fact that, in order to create the content and make it work, you have to have people that are gregarious, some people to be relatively gregarious and outgoing and articulate, that they can be interviewers and researchers and presenters and all this kind of stuff. If this becomes something, I mean, we've got next week's show. It's nearly done, but a new format, new overlays, new motion graphics, new lower, all this kind of stuff, because that's how it's moving. It's moving into production, but this is going out at a click of a button. I mean, it's staggering what's attainable and achievable. But the people that were there before, who were doing the sales, a guy said to me a long time ago, this old guy, he used to be involved in selling office equipment, and he said, you can guarantee, do an analysis on a salesperson and see how much time, he actually spends talking or closing to his customers, to actual customers. people that are in the market to buy. So you're employed as a salesman. How much time do you spend a week actually communicating with somebody that is actually in the market? Or how many appointments did you actually do? And it's like one, two. Because if reaching people is 400 to one to find someone that might be interested, you've got to spend weeks or months on the phone first before you even start to get to appointments to nurture those 400 to one results before they're actually getting warmed up for you to go and talk to them. So and so the mechanics around the sales process are skewed and screwed because it can't work properly, it can't work efficiently. And this way, you know, by communicating this and saying you have to redeploy these people, you've got to look at how business is structured. It must be done differently, B2B. But B2B sales and, if you want to call it marketing or promotion or publishing, revenue, you know, content and so on, it's got to be done differently. The way the business is structured has to be done differently. But, well, blow me down, it's massively profitable. Far more profitable than whatever you're doing at the moment. You cannot touch it. But it upsets some people who are going to be the naysayers of this, who are the BDRs, telesales and the salespeople. They don't want it. Of course they don't want it.
Well, I think when they understand it, they will want it. It's that they don't want it at the moment because they don't understand it, and B, it's going to be perceived as initial threat, you know, for obvious reasons. But if, like what you said about sales, you know, I'm a salesperson, so you think of your job is to do the sales, but the face-to-face stuff is never as much of the diary as you'd like it to be. It's all about opening a conversation. So all the effort, all the perspiration is purely on opening conversations.
Yeah.
The close is the easy bit. It's the bit everyone sort of go, oh, now you make your money sort of thing, but not really. You made it with the extra hundreds of hours of just trying to open a conversation.
You
know, I know we've got shared ideas here of how good marketing is in B2B, but marketing's not giving you the leads. Marketing's not bringing it to the table. You know, the sales people are having to find their own food, hunt and kill it, you know, prepare everything, you know, and at the end of it, all they get the credit for is that one tiny bit at the end. All the rest of it are gone. Now, if you take that away, then obviously the salesperson's like, well, all of my targets and my opportunities to earn commissions just evaporates like a puff of smoke, you know. But then what you can do is, theoretically, is you can restructure the whole thing. And it's said, well, instead of having bonus schemes against individual efforts, which, let's face it, historically has sometimes favoured the employee a lot more than the business. You know, I've been in roles in the past where salespeople were making astronomical money, but the actual work they were doing was costing the business money. But the way it was structured, they were making a killing, you know?
Because
it was down to their employee target. It wasn't good for the business because, you know, the actual thing they were selling was actually a negative loss to the company. But that's an entirely separate point. But what you can do now is if you've got a hard team, you can relate everyone's bonus to the company success.
Well, this is it. I mean, this is what I think.
Everyone's getting their bonuses, you know?
Yeah, I think I wrote about something along those lines that, if a company were to restructure along the lines of we've suggested, then you lend yourself in through that transition period. You lend yourself to say, okay, you've got sales team one and sales team two, and one of those was there in the first place, and one of them is the new sales team. You've got old and new. The old sales team, you can carry on doing what you're doing, making your own phone calls, doing the business, and we'll pay your commission based upon you doing all the work like you've been doing before. The new people, you're on a new structure. You don't get commission anymore. You're part of the revenue team, and you are just, if you have to talk to a customer because he wants to buy something, you do that. But you're paid a salary and so on. You get a bonus at the end of the year with everybody else, including the people who do the content and produce the content and do the shows and promote the products and teach about how the products can be used and do all that attraction, that massive amount of attraction stuff, because it's a hop, skip and a jump just to then say, I'd like to buy it. And so the new team are given those tasks to do, which is to process the paperwork, yada, yada, yada. The older team, they carry on selling, going out, finding a business. And when they're fed up doing that, they can come and join the other team if they want to, if there's an opening for them. So you don't take it away from them. But if they're not going to buy into it and engage with it, well, stay doing what you're doing. There's no problem with that at all. But you can see how the logic would work. So everybody else is really busy because marketing doesn't exist anymore. It's called content. And so they're producing content, producing shows, producing written, producing podcasts, producing video, all the other stuff that can be used again and again and again and again, nationally, even globally. And the other sales team are sitting there going, this is really tough. we're becoming dinosaurs. Yes, that's right.
Well, the old-fashioned sales system kind of trained people and taught salespeople to be selfish, you know, because they have to be, because that's how you get that's how you get your share of the prize. And I know Liz always tells me off when I use my football analogies, but I remember reading a book a while back and it was talking about why do players shoot in weird angles when they've got absolutely no chance of scoring? Why did they actually shoot when they could have put it sideways and their teammate could have just slotted it in the box?
I see where you're coming from.
And this book talked about the fact that, like, I don't know what it's like today or everyone's, but it talked about the contracts. It said certain players want a goal bonus. So he might have been on 10 grand to make that goal. You know, whereas if he had slotted it sideways and his teammate scored, yeah, it's great for the team, but he'd missed out on his 10 grand. Now, everyone says, well, there's an obvious way to solve this. Well, yes. But look at what people are doing in biz dev sales teams. There's an obvious way to solve this, but are you solving it? No, because you're incentivizing selfish. And you're incentivizing people to put themselves ahead of the company. That's basically what's happened. Now, I know we've talked about the restructure and it's probably another video, but if you change the ethos and say, why don't you put the company first, and people get rewarded for putting the company first, opposed to just saying, thank you very much, we'll have that. You know, we'll pocket that and you don't even get a thank you.
Yeah. The thing is, business is doing business. I can say doing business is easy, because if you want to grow a business, if doing it on a one-to-one, so making a phone call, trying to go and do create a meeting from something, growing or attempting to scale a business doing that is impossible. It is fraught with problems and stress and financial issues that are virtually insurmountable because the numbers don't work. Because people need salaries, you've got to pay them. And you can't pay them tuppence halfpenny, you've got to pay them the going rate. But it's like saying, oh, come on, Nigel, you can't say everybody's wrong. I can. I say everybody's wrong at doing what they're doing. They've got to change in B2B, not B2C, B2B. Because B2B can only sell to thousands. B2C can sell to millions. B2B can't. You just can't do it unless you're a manufacturer in Japan, China, America, wherever, selling something to every single company around, like Microsoft or like Google. So therefore, it's a no-brainer. You've only got thousands that you can sell to, possibly very, very low thousands, because of the verticals that you sell into. So that you have to work out a way that changes the multiplication and ratio, the number ratios that work within a business. If you don't do it, don't, and you just join the rest. And this is the thing about what we're doing. It keeps coming back to the same, I wouldn't say argument, but if 500,000 businesses start every year and 500,000 businesses fail every year, okay, so they're not all brand new businesses, because there's that those statistics of 30% of new businesses fail in the first year, and 40 and 50, and then up to 10 years, 70%. So virtually everybody goes bust anyway after 10 years or so. But it's like, well, if that's the case, and if 500,000 every year, and if it's £100,000 turnover per person per annum, up to about £1 million plus turnover, and when you get to five, it's about I don't know, 5 or 10 is about 150 grand. Doesn't change dramatically. And if it's been like that for all these years, all the marketing technology in the world has proven it doesn't work. Waste of time, waste of space. Because it's not moved anybody's needle anywhere. So therefore, if you don't want to do what we're saying, don't do it. But with all these management gurus, all these people going, oh, we look at your company, we look at your staff, we look at getting more productivity out of them. It's like absolute rubbish. You've got to change how you can sell. If you can buy anybody, buy accountants, you can buy HR, you can buy admin, you can buy support, everybody. But you can't buy sale. You've got to have a method and a mechanism that is able to replicate your best efforts every single time. And you can only do that with written, video and live. So you can't, it's impossible. And, you know, we're advocating this. We're saying, look, we are pioneers. We are doing something different. We're explaining this. People get this. People understand it. And our market, there's 250,000 companies out there. Plus 5.5 million micro businesses. So of the like nearly 6 million businesses, we say every single one of them should be doing this. And we've got nothing to sell. We have absolutely nothing to sell. We don't manufacture anything. We don't build. We don't make software. We don't do anything. We just kind of know how to put this together for B2Bs. And so we can fast track it for people. That's it. There's nothing, you know, I was complimented, you know, you've put all this stuff online, you've got all this stuff there. It's great. I like how you do it because you don't sell. That's right. You could go on our website, learn everything, go and do it yourself. Or you can fast track it. Because people have an infrastructure already. And it's breaking away from that infrastructure just temporarily to get this set up before you can adjust and make any changes throughout the rest of the business. But you've got to get it. You've got to kind of buy into it. But you don't have to do anything straight off. It's just get used to it. Just get used to this type of way of communicating. Because it's, you know, you're broadcasting to your vertical market. But God, where would I be now if I had this 30 years ago? I'd be on an island, I think. but every single salesperson in the world wants to be able to scale what he does. And that's the best anybody can ever come up with is it's a numbers game. But nobody ever told me how to manipulate or manage or work the numbers, ever. Not ever. And it's taken a lot of years to realise it's because they don't know. They've not got a clue. And they'll approach, they'll respond really authoritatively because I know what I'm talking about. You go, actually, you don't. I know you don't because you've got Tim and telesalespeople. So you know that you cannot scale your business unless you're making obscene amounts of profit on the products that you're selling. But then it's inauthentic then because then you wouldn't want to go live. So, I mean, that's...
You mentioned the numbers game, but it's what numbers are you chasing, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Everything in life is a numbers game. Yeah, the whole world is dictated by mathematics. So yeah, to say it's a numbers game, everything's a numbers game.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it deep enough.
Yeah.
But what numbers are you actually looking at? You know, and I find in my experience one of the biggest KPIs in business to business, new business, is first initial biz dev meetings. How many new meetings can you get? Now, I don't want to sort of drag on for this because I think we're getting close to wrapping up, but the new business meeting as a KPI is where a lot of the numbers are flawed right now, I think.
Yeah.
And it's because on a very old-fashioned methodology. Now, if you use the new business meeting, how was your new business meeting with your accountant? Well, in a weird way, you didn't even have it. He had the new business meeting with himself.
Yeah.
And he just came to you for the close.
Yeah.
Typically in sales, you've got a new business meeting, they go away and think about it, you go up the funnel, and the close might be 2 or 3 meetings later, depending on the complexity of the sale and depending on what you're selling. It might be 1 meeting, it might be 3, it might be 5, depending on the industry. We didn't have a new business meeting. They don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Now, most people, when they're trying to work their numbers, it's, well, how can I get more new business meetings? And that's why everything is gated, because all of a sudden the magic happens in the new business meeting. Well, what we're saying is all that information has already been absorbed.
Yeah, yeah.
So that new business meeting disappears.
Yeah,
now all
yeah.
of a sudden, everyone's trying to work out the numbers with a different calculation. It's like, oh, hang on a minute. I was trying to work out how many calls I had to make to get a new business meeting. Now new business meetings don't even exist. Now I'm really confused.
Yeah, yeah,
what
yeah.
What happened to this numbers game? But then obviously yeah, I'm going off on a tangent there. But you see,
but it's
where
right,
I'm going.
And then it becomes kind of this more akin to analytics. So how many new people on the website? What products do they go? What pages do they go to first? What's the most read product? Where do we get the most? Where do we lose the most? Where do the most exits happen, and why? You're looking at, you know, the whole thing to do with analytics and Tag Manager and looking at how that all fits together. And then you can say, right, well, who are we communicating with to drive traffic to our website? And how does that fit with this broken record of ABM that says you've got to look to approach your personas, the verticals within a company, the different individuals within the company. And you have to, if that's how you need to sell, what content have you got that is associated with those specific individuals and those specific titled individuals in a company? And it's bringing that together to say, well, if you're looking at a numbers game, well, you've got to, like you said, you've got to understand the numbers. And how do you want to play this game? If you're going to call it a game, because there must be some rules. And if you abide by the old rules, it'd just be a lot of grief. But if you look at how the new rules can be applied, and there's a terminology about a race to the bottom. This isn't a race to the bottom. This is completely the opposite. Because if you look at your position in a company, in an industry, those who adopt this first become the winners. Because they're able to reach out to a massive group of people. And then, you know, you've got the early adopters, the innovators, early adopters, early and late majority. So we've got this bell curve. So we're at the innovation early adopter part at the moment. So what's going to happen? Anybody that does this and starts doing this and starts looking at the mathematics relating to their P&L, they'll go, oh, my goodness gracious me. I didn't realise it was so significant. Let's get on with it. Get onto this right now. I mean, look at it. It's April the 1st, 2nd?
April the 1st.
1st. It's the 1st. You know, we've got a whole fiscal year ahead of us. If you do what you've always done, you just get what you've always got. And this is an opportunity, I think, you know, beginning of the year. I mentioned this the other week. HMRC say if you spend 30 grand on gear, the net payment, you get more money back. So it's effectively you're spending 22 grand. So you get additional tax benefits, capital allowances on hardware. So you spend 30, the net effect is 22. So you're getting almost a third back on your on whatever you spend from the government. Happy days. So there's a financial incentive to do it from the government. There's a financial incentive to do it from sets, you know, from your P&L and your accounts, and a financial incentive, or rather, a very personal incentive, is less stress. It's kind of effortless. You turn up, a few clicks, and you go live, and you communicate to your audience, and you can have a coffee, which I haven't got. You could have a bottle of water, which I haven't got, not today. But it's relaxed. And I know, Dean, are your children off now?
They are, yes.
They're quiet in the other room, are they?
Lock the door quickly, you know.
But, you know, and you do it, an hour later, you're finished and you're with the kids. I mean, somebody tell me if they think this is wrong. But that's...
Check. There's something missing. It's too easy.
Do you know what I mean? I've done this for years, and this is a dream. This is a dream doing business this way, and it means that you can scale it. You can scale your business. One can scale one's business by doing this, because if you're able to cut away wasted cost, but for it to not have any impact on your income, you are going to do it. And I've got nothing to sell you. I've got nothing to sell anyone except speed. Not the sniff stuff, but speed. Just the ability to make this happen really quickly and implement it really quickly and get people trained up so then you can go fly on your own path and make it happen for yourself. And that's it. And that's what we do. We set things up, make it happen quickly. But I think, like you said, we're coming to an end. Coming to the end of our seventh live stream. And like I said earlier, we've got a new set of graphics and a new show format in the next one that we do. So those that are you watching us now, I hope you will come and join us and see what it's all about. And basically what we want to try and do and keep doing is showing you what you can do. Not, oh, look at them, they got it sussed. No, templates and green screens and stuff. We just get it set up, doesn't take long, really. But it's what can you do? What applications can you think that you could use to encourage more new business? And that's all that matters. Nothing else matters. And if people are in lockdown or we're out of lockdown, but people are choosing to work from home, what does that new business landscape look like? And how do you adapt to be able to nicely exploit it to increase your income? And that's what this is all about. And that's it. Well, it's goodbye from me.
It's good to mic from him. I always wanted to say that.
I think we have to get faces that come up with the two Ronnies, and we have to do that.
I waited years for that moment.
All right, well, listen, Dean, have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Take good care to both of you.
Yep. And Liz, thank you for joining us again. I'm not going to say it, but that's great to have you with us. My wonderful wife. All right, guys, nice one. I'll play. Yeah. Now, this should work this time because I pressed this last week and it didn't work. And if it doesn't work, I know where to click really quickly. See you in the next one. Bye for now.
Yeah. Bye-bye.